You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's glad to be glad to have you in our audience. We have another great show, another terrific culture warrior, although she's more of a ministering the gospel. We're going to be talking with a former lesbian tonight, and I'm real excited. She's a friend of mine. Her name is Linda Jernigan. If you don't believe that ex-gays exist, that there are people who've left the homosexual lifestyle, then you need to hear this interview. The fact is the media is worse than ever in its pro-gay bias. That's why Americans for Truth exists. We are the other side of the gay debate. The media puffs up the one side. In fact, if they didn't have the media, we could actually have a fair debate. But what happens is the media shields the homosexual side. It promotes it at every turn. And one of the ways it does it is it simply does not tell the story of ex-gays. There are thousands and thousands of people who've walked away from homosexuality. That's because homosexuality is about behavior, first and foremost. It's often a difficult thing to overcome, but people have overcome it. And you would think that would be a wonderful story that the media would like to tell. But when you have groups like GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, pressuring media to not report, not tell the stories of ex-gays, when you have the homosexual activist movement actively condemning and demonizing former homosexuals, the equation amounts to something that keeps these people out of the media. And so a lot of people don't know about it. And we like to tell their story because we think it is a very important part of this debate. Americans for Truth is a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the homosexual activist movement. We're excited to be launching our AFTA Academy August 5th to 7th. This is going to be a rigorous 3-day training institute on the misinformation that comes out of the gay movement. We're going to be rebutting the gay myths and a lot of the lies that come out of the movement, such as that gays are 10% of society. That's one of the big lies that was promoted early on. And we're going to be telling the story of former homosexuals because young people need to hear this. And tonight we are talking with Linda Jernigan. Linda is the founder of a ministry called Rescuing Homosexuals. Her website is rescuinghomosexuals.net. Linda lived in the homosexual lifestyle for about 20 years. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you for having me, Peter, Ms. LaBarbera.
Well, you can call me Peter. Linda, as we met, Linda and I, about 5 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe four, when we were doing a tour for marriage, traditional marriage, going around the state of Illinois. It was Linda Jernigan. It was Dave Smith of the Illinois Family Institute, Jim Finnegan, who's a great pro-life and pro-family warrior, and Linda and me. And we had a good time, didn't we, Linda?
Yes, we did. We had a good time on the tour.
Yeah, we had the bus, and we were going all throughout the state of Illinois. And at that time, we were rallying for traditional marriage. But Linda... tell us, first of all, about rescuinghomosexuals.net and how you got involved, how you got into the homosexual lifestyle, and how you came out.
Okay. Rescuing Homosexuals is a ministry, as you stated, and what we do is a rescue homosexuals. We actively target homosexuals and share the gospel of salvation and deliverance with them, to let them know that it is very possible for them to come out of homosexuality by the power of Jesus Christ. Personally, I got involved in homosexuality and lesbianism as a young child. I was not a very obedient child. And so what my family did was they solicited a mentor to kind of mentor me. And this individual who was supposed to be mentoring me and trying to put me on the straight and narrow, she began to talk explicitly and very provocatively to me. And as she began to do that, and I was not even quite yet a teen. I was about 12 when these type of things began to happen. And so we start having very explicit conversations, and then it was shortly after that.
So, Linda, so she was talking sexual things with you? Was she actively trying to seduce you, or is this the beginning of a seduction? Or
yes, I believe that it was the very beginning of a seduction, trying to desensitize me, because, of course, at that age, I was not used to hearing sexually explicit conversations. And so I guess to kind of numb me down, she would tell me conversations or things that her and her boyfriend would do, how they would be intimate with each other. And so I was fascinated to hear these types of stories. And she would call them and say different things over the phone and things like this. I was fascinated. But then as time progressed, it shifted from her own experiences until she began to interview me about some of my experiences, some of my desires and thoughts and things of that nature. And so as we began to talk about my own desires and thoughts, then it progressed into over a period of time. And I would say all of this probably took a period of a few months so before we actually began to be involved sexually.
And so she was, I think it's fair to call this woman, looking back, a predator.
Yeah, now I can say that. But at the time,
yes.
I couldn't say that because I felt as if it was a relationship because I was in agreement with it. So even when people make statements like they feel as though she was a predator or a pedophile or she was a child molester or even a rapist because she was committing statutory rape, it was very hard for me to understand those terminologies directed towards her because I felt like I was a willing participant.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But now I understand it differently.
Yes. And, you know, boy, the subject of lesbian predators is certainly something that's politically incorrect. But obviously, she was manipulating your young emotions, your young mind. You had no. How old was this woman, by the way?
Oh, she was probably in her late 20s.
At the start of your relationship, you were 12, and she right. was in her late 20s. And did this occur in the Chicago area?
Yes, it occurred. I'm born and raised West Sider.
Okay, born at West Side Chicago. The yes. parents see a discipline problem in their daughter, and so were they paying this woman?
I'm not sure if they was actually paying her, but she was a very well-respected woman in our church. And so the thing that when I go and I share my testimony, that's one thing that I say to parents all the time. Simply because someone shows an interest in children, that does not mean that you should just turn your children over to them without any supervision. Because my family allowed me to be with her, to be around her all times of day, spend nights and everything, because they felt like she was a great helper to them. But in actuality, she was not. And then it was later discovered the reason why she and I broke up was because she was involved with another young lady in our church, and I found out about it.
Wow.
And so
she was like a serial, we're talking like a serial pedophile here.
I call her, in the book I use the terminology of a parasite, that she's one of the ones in churches that they are in leadership. But what they do is prey on young victims. They see people who are hurting. They see people who are rejected. They see people who have low self-esteem or some sort of identity issues. And then they come and they lure them with compliments, and they give them money. We drank alcohol. She bought me beers, let me smoke cigarettes. They do things like that, all unannounced to the parents. But over a period of time, she had me so far into her that I would even no longer listen to those, my parents and aunts and uncles and people like that.
Yeah.
But I thought that she was the only one who genuinely cared about me.
So it's a really, she manipulated you quite well.
Yes, she did.
And so these parents, beware, you know, just because somebody has a strong interest in your child doesn't mean they have the welfare of your child at heart. And this is shocking to me, Linda. I remember you telling me about this a few years ago, but, you know, these things happen. And Okay, well, let's advance. Now, you entered into a long-term lesbian relationship with this woman?
Well, it wasn't long-term to me now as I think about it, because the last woman I was with for 15 years, so it wasn't that long.
Oh, this was before that. This was your first relationship. Then you had a longer term.
Yes. So the relationship that I had with the woman in my church was probably about 6 months. I know it was under a year, but I don't know the exact dates. I would probably guess at about 6 to 9 months or so.
Okay. And so she inaugurated you into the lesbian lifestyle, and you know, we've got a minute and a half here to the break, but you basically came to believe that you were born homosexual.
Yes, yes.
Why is that? Because you'd know nothing else?
I basically just kind of felt different all of my life, and so that was one of the things that she and I talked about when she would talk to me about my sexual desires and attractions. And I would say, well, I'm not really sure if I like boys or girls and things like that. And she'd say, well, you know, it's okay if you do like girls. It's okay. That's, you know, there's a lot of people who's like that. And so because of my own identity issues, I just always kind of felt a little different. And so I felt like maybe I was born that way or born with some sort of tendencies towards homosexuality.
Yeah, I want to talk about that word different, because it seems to me that is abused so much by the gay activists. You know, you're different, therefore you're gay. Well, hey, being different is okay. There's a lot of great people who are different. It doesn't mean that you're homosexual. And, you know, there's a goodness to being different. So we're talking with Linda Jernigan here. Linda is, her ministry is RescuingHomosexuals.net. She's come out of the lesbian lifestyle, and now she's helping others to leave that immoral lifestyle. Linda Jernigan, again, the website is RescuingHomosexuals.net. Our website is AmericansForTruth.org. We'll be back in a minute. Everybody, you're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. My name is Peter LaBarbera. I'm the founder of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Our website is AmericansForTruth.org. That's AmericansForTruth.org. Go to our website, sign up for our emails that come out once or twice a week, sometimes three times a week. Make a donation. It's tax deductible. We need all the help we can get. We're going up against a powerful homosexual lobby that has the full backing of the media and academia and various powerful sectors in society. We're talking to Linda Jernigan, who is just a joy to talk with. I love hearing about the testimonies of former homosexuals, especially those who came out through the power of Jesus Christ. And Linda's website is Rescuing Homosexuals, plural, rescuinghomosexuals.net. And she is the author of two books. One is Rescuing Homosexuals in the House of God. That's about helping homosexuals in church draw them into a free lifestyle, free of that immorality. And now she's got a second edition out called Rescuing Homosexuals, but this is a more general book. Linda, how does the first book differ from the second one again?
Yeah, the first book targeted homosexuals who were primarily in church, because after I got saved, I began to look around various churches and I noticed that the churches was becoming infested with homosexuals, and it seems.
Are you talking about predominantly black churches or just all churches?
Well, now I believe it's probably all churches, but because I predominantly attend black churches, I was seeing this predominantly in black churches.
Okay, now let's back up a little bit. You, in your bio, you say that Linda always desired a relationship with the Lord, but concluded it was scientifically impossible for her to change into a, quote, normal woman. Therefore, Linda internally resolved that since she was born a homosexual, she would die a homosexual. Now, how did God take you from that to where you are today? How did you get saved?
Well, I got saved because one Sunday I went to church. I went to church with selfish motives. I was going to the young lady who I was with at the time. I had stayed out all night, and she was upset. She had already started attending church with her friend, and so I decided that I was going to attend church with her this particular Sunday just to get back on her good side. And so I went to church with her that Sunday, but when I went that Sunday, I really had an encounter with God, with the Lord Jesus himself, and he began to talk with me and began to compel my heart and soften my heart and said that he was willing to change me and he loved me and all of this good stuff. And I'm crying. I'm like, man, what's happening to me? And that's basically what happened. But the divider that we had, when I say we, I'm speaking of me and God, the divider that we had was I knew that I was an abomination and wicked because that's all I heard from the church throughout the course of my lesbian lifestyle. So I knew that because I believed I was born a homosexual, that it would be impossible for me to be in a good relationship with God, because how could that change? Because you can't change your sexual orientation. Since I was born this way, obviously he created me this way, and obviously I'm going to be this way, is what I thought. And so it was during that time that I was, you know, kind of crying out to God that he told me that I could be born again. And so in essence, it was as if he was saying it didn't matter how I thought I was born, that was so irrelevant, because regardless of what I thought I was born or had or came into this world with, that I still had to be born again. And so that is my message to homosexuals. I don't get into the are you born this way or not, because even if you're a fornicator, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you have to stop fornicating. And so even if you believe that you were born a homosexual, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you have to be born again. So all of the old things, including old desires and old attractions, pass away. And you have to submit and commit to the process of God, and then he will make you new. He will change your mind, he'll change your thought process, and he'll change your desires. But you have to submit to his process.
Now, in that process, to you, was it the Word of God that was central? Did you also do counseling? I mean, there are a lot of people who say, "Oh, you can't change without therapy." How did you change? How did God change you? I mean, I see the picture here of the very masculine picture of you in jeans. I think you're wearing a tie and a man's shirt, and then the other picture of the Linda that I know, which is of you ministering as a beautiful woman. I mean, so how did that change happen, and how hard was it?
The change was very difficult. I would say that I probably didn't do much therapy, but now when I looked at it, some people like to say that they counseled me and things like that. I thought they were just giving me advice, but now that, you know, they say that they were my counselor, so I guess I could say they were my counselors. But basically, it was just praying, going to church consistently, praying, reading my Bible, and then believing what the Bible said about me. Believing that he created us male and female. He created males to be men and females to be women. And so believing that what I read in the Bible was true. I literally believed what the Bible said. And so when it said that since I'm a new creation, old things are passed away, all things become new, I literally took that as all things were supposed to be new in my life. Just like I was no longer able to be an alcoholic drinking every single day a six-pack and a half a pint of Crown Royal, because now I was a new creation in Christ. And so that was the same thing about homosexuality and lesbianism. But yes, it was hard, because the woman whom I was with, we had been together for 15 years. So we shared our residence. We shared our bills. We were raising two children. And so it was very difficult for me to pick up and walk away, which I did. Just one day out of the blue, I said, I'm out of here, I'm gone. And I took nothing but my clothes and I left. And I went and slept on my cousin's basement for about 2.5 months. And so to try to rebuild my life. So yes, it is very difficult. It is challenging. And that's what I try to express to homosexuals. But all in the midst of that, God will walk with you. And he will bring people to encourage you, to help you. But you have to have that inner desire that I want out of this, and I'm willing to do anything to get out and to stay out.
Right. You have to have the allegiance to God. I mean, what would you say to this, and I ask this to most of my guests in your circumstance, you know, you hear, especially gay guys, it seems, all the time, I prayed, and God wouldn't change me. You know, this is their plea to us. Oh, I tried, and it didn't work. What would you say to them? Is it that they didn't really want to change? You know, what do you say to a guy like that?
I say to people like that you have to go through the process. And so simply because you don't get the answer that you want at the time that you want, you still cannot give up. Because one thing I noticed about me is people say, well, Linda, when were you delivered? And I cannot really answer that question because I just started noticing over a period of time that things were slowly becoming different about me.
Mm-hmm.
I started noticing that I didn't look at women the same way as I used to. You know, I wasn't looking at women anymore and with lustful desires. And I was praying, saying, God, change my desires, change my heart, because I don't want to look at women like that. It is so hard. It is so hard. But then one day I just kind of noticed that I wasn't doing it anymore. And so I believe it's actually during the time that you are crying out to God, and you're saying, free me from this, deliver me from this, that he's slowly doing it. But because we are this instant nation now, we believe that if we pray a prayer today, we should see the results today. And that oftentimes that doesn't happen with God. He takes you step by step.
Also, you have to be repentant, right, Linda? I mean, you can't.
Of course.
You have to agree with God about homosexuality and about your own life. Now, I never struggle with that, but I struggle with plenty of other sins. And you have to agree with God about your sin.
Exactly. And you have to call it sin. And you have to say that I know this is against you. This is not how you created me. You have not designed for me to be like that. And so I need you to help me. And as you begin to cry out to him in that regard and not be in agreement and not make excuses and not say, well, maybe, but you have to agree with him according to how he has said it. I know you don't want me to be this way because you caused this sin. And because this is sin to you, I know I don't want to be like this, and I'm asking you to help me. And I guarantee you that he will.
Right. Now, you've been out 10 years now. Is that right?
This is in August. It'll be 10 years for me, Pete.
August, 10 years. Now, you must laugh. I know we've laughed about this because, you know, the homosexual activists in the first year, they're like, yeah, Linda, you're coming back, right? And they compare it to like a right-hander being, you could teach yourself to write left-handed and that sort of thing. But when you've been out 10 years and you're faithfully serving God, it's pretty hard to say that this is just a forced change of behavior.
Yes, that's hard to keep that argument, you know, because my opinion is you can only fake and pretend for so long before the real you surface.
Yeah, you'd be a pretty good faker at this point, Linda.
Yeah, you know, I've been in newspapers and on television shows and all of that, and I was just telling a friend of mine that you have never heard a scandal about me. You know, there's no woman out there that can say, hey, Linda was flirting with me, or we went out to dinner and, you know, we went back to her apartment and had sex. It's nothing like that because my conversion is real. But because my conversion is real, that's what I want people to know, that I'm not the only one. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions of people who have testimonies just like mine, that their conversion is just as real. But the media try to make it seem as if delivered homosexuals and ex-homosexuals is non-existent, or we are some type of mystical phenomenon that just kind of happened. You know, but that's not the truth. This is a common occurrence, and all of us are delivered pretty much the same way. We cried out to God. He gave us instructions on how to come out. We obeyed his word. We submitted to him, and before you know it, we were on to our new life.
Yeah, it's a wonderful story, and it is the story the media will not tell, as the media is in the bag of the homosexual lobby, but that will change. There was a time when other movements were at a low ebb, and that happens to be it with the homosexual issue. We're talking to Linda Jernigan. Her ministry is rescuinghomosexuals.net. She's an ex-lesbian of 10 years now. Rescuinghomosexuals.net. We'll be back in a minute.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Good evening, everybody. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in part one of a two-part interview with Linda Jernigan. She is based in Chicago. She is a gospel evangelist. Her ministry is rescuinghomosexuals.net. And I forgot to mention that Linda will be speaking at the Americans for Truth offices on Friday night, June 25th. That's Friday, June 25th. It's in Carroll Stream. You can get more details at our website, which is americansfortruth.org. And Linda is going to be talking on the subject, What's Wrong with Gay Pride? It is she'll be talking two days before the huge Chicago Gay Pride Parade, which is just a testimony to the decadence of this town, huh, Linda? Did you used to go to those Pride Parades in Chicago?
Yes, I used to go to the Pride Parade, not every single year. I think the last year that I was in homosexuality, I think I went the last two or maybe the last 3 years, and then I went to the barbecue up on the rocks following the parade, yes.
Right. And okay, so, you know, the first time I went to the Chicago Gay Pride Parade, I was stunned at the enormity of it. I know it didn't start out that way, and I don't know how it was when you were doing it, but now it is a huge, it's sort of like a, I guess it's almost like Mardi Gras. I mean, it's a huge celebration, and it really makes me sad because I thought, you know, this really is a testimony to what has happened to Chicago.
Yes. Yes. I actually was doing some studies a couple of weeks ago concerning gay pride, and I discovered that the first gay pride parade was actually held in Chicago. We have them all over the nation now. But the very first one, Chicago was the very first city to host a gay pride parade. And so that is a huge testament of our city.
Yeah.
And the things that needs to be changed and transformed if we're going to be a city that is going to honor God.
Yes. And the media, of course, is completely pro-homosexual almost in this town. And, you know, also Chicago had one of the first homosexual activists, you could call him. His name is Gerber. And there's a gay library named after him. But there's a long history of homosexual activism in this city. And it does, you know, it does wear down morality, doesn't it? I mean, the more you tolerate evil, the more accepted it becomes and the more it debases the morality of a city and a society.
Yes, it does. And then the Bible is always right when it says that the enemy comes to do nothing but steal, kill, and destroy. And you see that very prevalent in the homosexual community because the devil has stolen their identity, he kills their joy, and then he ultimately destroys their lives. And so if you believe the lie of the enemy, then that's basically what's going to happen. And when you talk with homosexuals, I don't care how out they are, I don't care how flamboyant they are, when you get into a one-on-one conversation in private with a homosexual, they will begin to tell you the inner torment, the inner pain, the inner shame and embarrassment that they feel. They will even begin to tell you about how they have attempted suicide. These are very common threads among all homosexuals. But then people like to say that it's not a lifestyle that we should try to allow people to help them get out of it. But why not? If suicide rates is highest among homosexuals than there are in any other people group, what is there to be so proud about people being tormented and embarrassed and made ashamed by the devil? We should be helping those according to Jesus.
Yes. Now, do you work your ministry primarily in the African-American community, or are you in touch with people, whoever, you know, comes to your website? And how many people have you helped?
Oh, wow. Peter, over the years, it has really grown tremendously, and I thank and praise God for that, that homosexuals are recognizing the fact that this is sin, and this is something that God can change and convert them, and now they are reaching out in record numbers. In fact, my website and my ministry has grown to the place that now I am actually training other homosexual, ex-homosexuals who I've delivered, who's been walking with Jesus. I'm training them so that they can assist me in returning emails and phone calls and meetings, because not only do we meet with homosexuals, we also meet with parents of homosexuals and spiritual leaders, the pastors of our homosexuals. So the ministry is growing, and there is a greater need and a greater demand for ministries like this.
Now, Linda, I want to ask you about the black church, because I know we've talked about this and you have some insights. There is a lot of hypocrisy in the black church on this. I know that blacks tend to be more morally upright on sexual issues publicly, at least, than whites. Mm-hmm. Polls show that African-Americans are more opposed to gay marriage than whites. Mm-hmm. And yet there's a lot of homosexuality tolerated, maybe secret homosexuality, within the black church. Talk about that.
Well, I believe that one of the problems or one of the main issues with that is, in a lot of churches, what has happened is there is the absence of the authentic presence of God. And so because there is no emphasis on the presence of God, there is no emphasis on worship and Bible reading and living a life submitted unto the Lord, some of our leaders have became kind of almost desensitized in areas of the Bible that is very clear, not just in homosexuality, but also in perversion, such as fornication and adultery and things of that nature. And I believe that it is such, is on the rise so much, is because we have walked away from the standards and principles that God has clearly set. And because this thing of greed has entered into churches, because we must admit that financially, churches are not the way that they used to be, and so now people are scrapping, and they're saying, you know, what can I do to pay the bills? And so they don't want their members to leave, and so it is very difficult. It's a very difficult decision that leaders have to make, but I implore them that they must make them and stand for righteousness. And so it is total hypocrisy for someone to get in the pulpit on Sunday mornings and say that they are against homosexuality, they are against any sort of perversion, but then you hire someone in your church, you pay them a salary that you know that they're homosexual, or you allow them to direct your choir and you know that they are openly gay. That is a hypocrisy that we must stand against.
Yes, and our friend D.L. Foster has written about that extensively. Do you happen to remember his website by any chance?
Yeah, Witness for the World.
Witness for the World. He's written about that, and so you see basically a lot of homosexuality that's sort of on the down low in the churches. But it sounds to me like it's not really on the down low. People know, but it's sort of just tolerated.
Yes, they know and they just kind of tolerate it. But then you have other members of churches saying, hey, this is going on in my church, and how do I talk to my pastor about this? Because I find it offensive for a homosexual to be parading around the stage and my son goes there, you know. And so how do I bring it to my pastor? So there is a silent uproar that's brewing in a lot of these churches now from the parishioners. And it is my prayer that the parishioners will make a demand on their leadership and on their pastors to deal with this sort of situation. I believe that a lot of that, the issue has been that pastors really just did not know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Just didn't have the tools and the information on how do I help these homosexuals? How can I put them on the path of righteousness? How do I introduce them to long-term sustainable deliverance? They just didn't have a clue. And that's how come ministries like yours and Americans for Truth and Rescuing Homosexuals and Witness for the World, that's how come ministries like these need to be supported, because we can give pastors and church leaders the necessary tools they need.
Now, Linda, we got 3 minutes left, but you talk in your book, which is called Rescuing Homosexuals. It's available at rescuinghomosexuals.net. You talk about there's two types of kind of homosexuals. There's parasite homosexuals who are really not interested in change, and then there's the tormented homosexual who really does want to change. Talk about that, especially in the church that you see.
Yes. In the church, what I see is that there are these homosexuals, these flamboyant guys and girls, and they just attend every Sunday. They're not after trying to establish a relationship with Jesus. They are basically there just trying to find the next person that they can be with. Those are homosexuals that I define as parasites. Those are the homosexuals that we need to stand and judge in our midst, in our congregations, and say, listen, You will not entice, flirt with, seduce people up in here. You know, and if we do find out, we will excommunicate you because we have an obligation to protect our young, our teens, our youth, and we have the obligation to protect other people who do not want to be involved or enticed by something like that. But the tormented homosexual is the homosexual that's coming. You know, they want Jesus. They want change. They want to be free. But this thing is just on them and have them in their grips. Those are the ones that we should love and we should embrace and that we should walk with and we should commit to establishing a relationship with them as our sisters and brothers in Christ. And so those are two entirely different people. You know, we must embrace the tormented homosexual, but we must stand against and judge those parasite homosexuals because we want to ensure safety for everyone among our congregations.
Now, do you talk about young black men? I mean, I know that there's a lot of the media is very clear on this. There are a lot of fatherless young men. Is that a contributor to the homosexuality that's in the black church, or is that how do you describe that?
Yes, I believe that is probably a major contributor to the homosexuality in black churches because men want to be fathered. Women want to be fathered as well. But men wants to be fathered as well. And so when you find, if you sit down and you talk to some of these male homosexuals and begin to ask them about their father and their childhood, and you will soon discover that there is a huge deficit that is there in their father-paternal relationship. And then you'll also discover that there is a void and a longing for that. And so you'll see also that they kind of correlate the mate that they have been with as being their father.
Interesting. The lack of a father figure. We're talking to Linda Jernigan of RescuingHomosexuals.net. This is AmericansForTruth.org. This entire interview and the next part of it will be on our website at AmericansForTruth.org. Linda will be speaking at AFTA on Friday, June 25th. Everybody, this is the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in the final segment of part one of our interview with Linda Jernigan. Linda is the founder of RescuingHomosexuals.net. She is a former lesbian. She's been out of the lifestyle 10 years. She was in a long-term relationship. She was actually the victim of a lesbian predator. She is now working with people to help others come out of the homosexual lifestyle. And Linda will be speaking at the Americans for Truth headquarters in Carroll Stream on Friday night, June 25th. It's a dinner lecture. It starts at 6 o'clock. Our offices are 25W560 Geneva Road, which is near the corner of Gary and Geneva Roads in Carroll Stream. We have a casual dinner, and then we'll hear Linda talk, and there'll be time for Q&A. Again, that's Friday night, June 25th. But there's more information at the Americans for Truth website. I'd also like to remind our listeners of the Americans for Truth Academy. This is oriented towards young people, but anybody can attend of any age. This is a three-day academy, August 5th to 7th, and I'd love Linda to come by there, too. August 5th to 7th at our offices at Carroll Stream, we are teaching people how to respond to the misinformation that comes out of the homosexual movement. Now, Linda, speaking of misinformation, the gay lobby says you're born that way. But we were talking about, you know, the effect of fatherlessness that you've seen, especially as an African American, you've seen the devastation. Talk about it in the lives of gay men, African-Americans, and also lesbians, what you've seen in reaching out and in the lives of people trying to change and what you tell them.
Well, one thing that I noticed, Peter, is that when you have a young man, because I begin to see like an uprise of very effeminate or feminine guys in the church. And so when I begin to look at them and actually study them and talk with them, one common thread that flowed throughout basically all of them was of the absence of their father and that they were being raised by their mother and they were being raised by their grandparents or their grandmother and things like that. And they spent a considerable amount of time around these particular women, but they really didn't learn how to be men. They really had no one to model before them how to be men. And it was basically the same way with me as well. Although I was surrounded by many family members, I really had no one to show me basically the things of being a woman and growing into womanhood and what that was like. And so I spent a lot of time around my guy cousins, around my male friends, and so various things that they did was things that I did too. So I dressed like them, I looked like them, I spit like them, I smoked like them, I talked like them, I held my beer bottle the same as them, because they were my models. And when fathers are absent, what that does is that allows someone else to set your identity, because the fathers are supposed to, they are the ones who give identity. That's why you have your father's last name, because you're supposed to take on his characteristics. That's why we're made and created in the image of God and after his likeness, because he's our father. And so we take on his identity. And so when you have these beings who's raised fatherless, and then that opens the door for someone else or something else to define them. And if only thing that can define these men is their moms, then they pick up their moms and their grandmother's feminine characteristics. And so that's what you see in churches today.
Very interesting. Now, talk about a success story of somebody you've worked with who's come out of the lifestyle. Next week, in part two of our interview, we hope to also talk with somebody you've worked with. But tell us how difficult is this work, and give us a success story.
Well, it's not as difficult for someone who's committed to the Lord, you know, because when you're trying to get people to be committed to the things of God before they're committed to God, it is very, very difficult. And so when you find someone or someone contact you and they are ready to commit to God and they're ready to commit to his standards, and then it makes it a lot easier. But the process is always challenging. It's always time consuming, because people actually, their minds need to be renewed by the word of God. And so things that they have been doing, the way they have been doing, the ways they normally respond, all of those things needs to be transformed. They need to learn how to deal with those desires that come up at 1 o'clock in the morning. They need to learn how to deal with when they ex called them, or when they ex want to, you know, follow them on Twitter or want to be their Facebook friend. You have to; those are behaviors that you have to learn and you have to implement. So yes, it does take time, but it's not impossible.
And you have to break away from those old friendships if those old friendships are going to bring you back into a lifestyle that's sinful.
Yes, I always encourage, you know, the separation. And I always say that it is very possible that after a period of time when you all have grown stronger in the Lord and the Lord is the centerpiece in both of you all's life, that, yes, you can come back and you can be friends. The young lady whom I was with, she and I are friends, but we still have some very strict boundaries, you know, that we don't cross after 10 years.
So this is your long-term partner of 15 years.
Yes.
She also left the lesbian lifestyle.
Yes, she left the lesbian lifestyle, and now she's saved. But even though both of us are still saved, we still have boundaries on our friendship.
Right.
You know, we are friends. We do talk, and we laugh and joke, have fun. I go grab something to eat with her and all of that, but there are still boundaries that we have in place.
Right. Now, Linda, your book is RescuingHomosexuals.net. Give us an example, as I said, of somebody who you've worked with who's come out of the lifestyle.
Well, Peter, I've been working with several people now. Like I said, I'm working with some rather closely because I'm preparing them to kind of launch out into their own ministries and to do their own things, basically the same things that we are doing. But it's one young lady in particular that I have worked with, that I'm working with currently. And she came and she heard me speak. She heard my testimony, and she said that she asked God if there was any possible way that she could talk with me or something like that. And then I went to the bathroom and she was there. And so she got my information in the bathroom, and then she started emailing me. And that was approximately maybe 6 years ago. And so now she's very strong in the Lord. She's a minister. And I pray that we'll be able to speak with her on next week. There's another young lady who actually resides in California, and so she met me through my website. I mean, her side dialoguing through my website, so now she has her own ministry out in California currently, where she's reaching out to homosexuals and have different resources on her website and on her webpage and things like that. And then we also have another young man. He was already delivered when I met him, but I have been working very closely with him. And I would like to introduce everyone to him on next week because his testimony is so awesome. But he was also involved with some senior leaders in the city of Chicago, and he would tell you how that they used to pamper him. And he was a very feminine homosexual. He was one who also believed that he was a homosexual. He used to dress in women's clothes at the time of 4 and 5 years old and things like that. So
he was actually leaders in the church were enabling his homosexuality?
Yeah, they were enabling it, but they were also participants. So they would preach on Sunday mornings one thing, and then they would come and pick him up on Sunday night, and then they would have their little rendezvous together. So he was actually like a church gigolo prostitute to men.
Yeah, there's a lot that's going on in secret. There's a lot that needs to be exposed. Do you get a lot of cooperation from the church? You only got a few seconds left, Linda, but do you get welcomed a lot into the black churches or all churches?
I'm getting welcomed more. You know, I think that God has favored me probably more than others. There have been some resistance and opposition, but then I believe that my ministry has experienced a lot of favor from God.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that, Linda, because we're running out of time. But we will be talking to Linda Jernigan next week. Linda Jernigan's website is rescuinghomosexuals.net. She's coming to speak at Americans for Truth on Friday night, June 25th in Carroll Stream. Go to our website at AmericansForTruth.org to find out more about that and to find out more about the After Truth Academy for young people. AmericansForTruth.org. Make a donation. Go take a stand in the culture. Get involved. This is Peter LaBarber with the Americans for Truth Hour. We'll talk again with Linda Jernigan next week. Thank you.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.